You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
There's Paul Mercurio. Hey, how are you doing, buddy? Paul is going to be at the Improv this weekend. Paul, do you remember we met each other? I want to say it was like last year. I just happened to be at the Comedy Cellar, and you were leaving as I was going, and we actually just you gave me your card, and I saved it, and we just met briefly. But you haven't been down here before.
No, I was in Tampa like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah,
but it's been a while. And I, after you mentioned to me that I met you after, and then I saw you, I'm like, oh yeah,
yeah. It was just a chance. We just happened to stop by the restaurant for a little while. But Paul Castronovo, how do you know Paul?
Just
doing from Miami a lot.
Yeah, from doing Miami a lot and going on the show, and then we've become friends. And you know, he's not the sexual animal he was, so sometimes I have to step in and help him with his wife.
No, I understand.
He's a great guy. We've just become friends from doing his show, you know?
Yeah, he is like, we have a lot of similarities. It's interesting because before I was in radio, I used to live down there for a little while, and I used to listen to Ball.
Yeah.
And he and I have become some kind of friends over the years, like text friends and stuff. And we have this very similar taste in comedians. So he was like, hey, this guy's coming. I was like, I would have had him on already. But Paul, also famous, in addition to being a funny comedian, ruined the Opie and Anthony show. not once, but twice. That was so funny because I did not know
that's
was
so
you.
That's so cool that you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
So I know the second part. What was the first part?
The first part was the Sex for Sam stuff, wasn't it?
The Sex for Sam thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Now, what did you do? Were you just one of their, like, friend comedians, or did you actually work on the show?
No, I was like, there was a small group of us, like Rich Voss, me, Patrice O'Neill.
Right.
Regulars that would go on the show. And I was... Can I back up and tell you you know, nothing happens in a vacuum, right?
Right.
So, like, there was a buildup to it. 6 months earlier, they had this thing called the Voyeur Bus in New York.
Yes. Now, we know Voyeur Bus.
Right.
Yes.
And
that was where they had, where you'd have naked people on the bus, and you could
like
see through.
Windows,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, and it's not like they went to, like, the little, like Staten Island. They went, like, right through Times Square.
Yeah.
On the air with Jim Norton and Lewis Black on the bus.
Yeah.
and the cops hear this, because they were big cops, were big fans of the show, and they're like, so they corner the bus at like 48th and Broadway, and I'm supposed to open for Lewis Black, and there ain't no show because he's in jail.
Oh, they arrested them?
He and Jimmy in jail.
Oh, we should have you leave now. You're bad. You're a bad black cloud.
It's okay if I take my pants off.
Yeah,
right?
Totally
what
fine.
I do.
Mine are already off.
It's been hours since I sexually harassed somebody too. So that the reason I say that is because there was already this thing in the air, right?
Right.
So fast forward, it's like 6 months, and I'm doing shows in the city, and I want to go on and promote. And they said, well, we're stacked up this day. Well, why don't you come and do this Sex for Sam contest? And I go, what's for that?
Yeah.
And it's the third year they were doing it. It was approved by the station.
Yeah, let's explain this. This is Sam Adams is the beer.
Mm.
And they, Opie and Anthony started, they got big in Boston, and that's where Sam Adams was. So they had a great relationship with them. When they went to New York, they continued that sponsorship, and they were doing, it was like sex in public places for prizes.
So the contest was, they had a list, it was a point value system, and it was couples. And this time it was six couples, so 12 people. And you would have sex in a quote-unquote public place, like a park
or
in front of a newsstand.
Right.
And it was point value, and 10 was like, you know, in a park by a tree, that's not a lot. So the high riskier it was. And a church and in front of a cop was 90 points. Okay? And I remember sitting there, and I used to be a lawyer, so I remember sitting in the pre-production meeting and going, I raised my hand, like, excuse me, has anybody got arrested for this? And they're like, no, this is fine. We've done it 3 years. The president of Sam Adams was there. I don't know if he's a sponsor. But there was stuff going on beforehand, like a woman was, quote unquote, taking care of her boyfriend, and they were filming it, and they had that on tape, and he's standing there laughing, and the GM of the station's laughing.
Keep in mind, this was in the 90s. before the Janet Jackson stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And we got away with a lot more than we used to.
And you see that, and you see them filming it, and you see the sponsor and the GM of the station. There, like, yeah, it's like you're smoking pot with your parents. What could this is totally right. So we go out into the thing, right? And so it's me. I have one. I'm the one of the celebrity spotters. So I'm assigned a couple. Rich Voss has somebody. I can't remember who the other guys
are. Right.
So it's these regulars on the show. And my job was to call in and say, hey, it's Mike and Carmen. I'm with them. Hi, Carmen.
Hi.
I didn't know Blaine was gay, by the way.
You'll find out.
We're in front of a newsstand. Okay, that's 10 points. And so they bounce around, right?
Now, when you say, are they actually having full-on sex? Or
it's
they doing...
like they're not taking their clothes off, but like it was August. So like they had shorts on. And like
they were sliding. Kind of
sliding, okay. You know what I mean?
I got gotcha.
You. Know, but you could...
Quick action.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay. Right. It's a point. Just getting the point.
Yeah,
the point
exactly. System, yeah. I mean, I wasn't down in there with like, hey.
Believe it or not, I have been in those uncomfortable situations too. I did a Mile High Club thing one time where I had to just be witness to these sort of things, which sounds awesome.
But here's the thing about that kind of radio, which is fine. You want to get caught.
Yes.
Because that's where it peaks, and that's what it's all about, is controversy. Like, if you don't get caught, it's still kind of cool, but like, you want to get caught.
And now, nobody knows it really happened either.
Yeah, you know, so, like, you're looking for that, like, I mean, look, you're really pushing the boundaries. It's certainly public indecency, and they knew that. But, again, it was the third year. It was approved.
You have to look at what the pinch is. Is it worth the pinch? So, at that point... What are you going to get, a fine? What Norton spending for the Voyeur bus? Overnight in jail? Yeah. The press is worth it.
And here it is. We're talking about it all these years later.
Right.
It's a cost-benefit analysis. I get that.
Right.
So it's sort of like, now that's not to say like, hey, I got to get arrested at 4 o'clock. Like, it was just like our thing. So we're walking down Fifth Avenue, and there's a church. And there's a church and a cop on the corner.
Oh, wow. Church. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
180 points.
Thank you very much. So I go on the side of the church. I don't go in the church, okay?
Right.
This is a 55th, and it's a Methodist church or whatever. And I go on the side, on the 55th Street side, not the Fifth Avenue side. And the cop's there, and the thing, and I'm call in, and I go, I got 180 points. I got a cop by a church. And Anthony goes, no, you have to go in the church for the points. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I go, what? He goes, you have to. Even I'm like, what? No, you got to go in the church if you want the points. And they're all laughing, right? So, because this is what they do. Like, they put you in the barrel and they put you on. Okay. So
are you worried about lighting at this point? Right. I mean, you're going to go to hell either way.
Well, I figured the church has candles. What better environment and atmosphere, right, to have sex than
candles. Sort of pre-lit.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Jesus just looking over you like, hey, I'm ready. Yeah. Now, this is where I turned into a 12-year-old.
Okay.
I should have just hung up the phone and said, I'm not doing that, or I should have told him I'm not doing it, or I could have said I did it and lied.
Right.
But
that's worse.
But because then you catch you in a lie, then you lose credibility.
Yeah.
But the problem is with those shows is it's like, go ahead, throw a rock at the cop car. What are you, pussy? Go ahead,
I know.
Throw
it, I would what I mean? Instigate
so
as much like
so that. Especially
we're safe in this room, so we're trying to tell you you're the pussy.
Especially with guys, it's guys combined. It's this testosterone thing, and it's like, you know, go ahead, do it. You're a pussy. You know, literally, it was like when you were 12.
Yeah.
And I grew up like in an Italian neighborhood, and we did a lot of stupid stuff and got a lot of trouble on the street, whatever. But like, so I tend to be thorough in what I do, so I'm looking for a church because the church was locked.
Yeah.
So I walk down two blocks, and there's St. Pat's Cathedral.
There is the church.
I mean,
yes,
I go, that'll work.
Yeah. You should get extra points for that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's open. People are in and out. And then as I'm walking up, I'm thinking, this will be okay because it's so big, and I'll find, like, a corner somewhere.
Right.
And it's so many people, like, whatever.
Who will know?
We'll be in and out. So we go way in the back.
Uh-huh.
And they, whatever. And
now, and I need to know, without too much detail, but what is the positioning? Is she sitting on his lap? Is this a lay-down kind of thing against the wall?
She's sitting on my face now. Up against the wall, not lay-down.
Oh, okay.
None of it was lay-down. It was, like, lean against the wall. Right, either he or B would lean against the wall, and then the other.
Right.
Gotcha.
I know how it's like.
And then, as it's happening, a security guy in like a suit is like, hey, well, you know, what are you doing? He could see, like, you know, get out of here. So he walks us to the front of the church, and I'm on the air, right? And we're at the door of the church, and we're about to leave. You know all those steps that go down the Fifth Avenue, right? So the security guy's like, what are you doing? You were having sex with each other. I'm like, no, we weren't. They were just hugging and said, whatever. No, anyway. And then I got mad, and I'm Catholic, and I go, oh, I see, a little meat and potatoes heterosexual sex in the church is a problem, but when priests did a little boys,
oh,
that's okay.
You brought, that, you brought up the sore subject.
Yeah, but it's kind of true in a way. It's like, don't be a hypocrite. Okay, what we were doing was stupid, but like, whatever, you know, you just... You had a bishop meeting 2 years earlier in Rome, and you just went, no, there's no problem.
Right,
there.
Right,
you know, really, go screw yourself. So then the guy, like, came at me. Like, he was so mad. Because these are retired cops who are Catholic themselves.
Right.
Like, whatever.
They're doing this for their love.
He goes, get out of here, get out of here. I'm like, yeah, you know. And you can hear the guys going, oh, my God, he just said that. So, like, you know, that's kind of part of what I'm supposed to do, right?
Right. You're hamming it up. You're making it real for the radio.
Yeah, but not to the point where, like, you just think, okay, this is going to be fine. We're gone. So we walked down the steps, and I don't know if I'm giving you too much
detail. No, this is great.
Going up Fifth Avenue, and I'm done. So now we're going to go do some more. I got the 90 points.
Right.
So, and I had the 90 from the cops, so I got my 180.
Yeah, you got your 180. You're in good shape.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, we're up back like a 56th and 5th, whatever, a few blocks north. Woo! Cop cars.
Really? Oh,
four of them. And this is when I knew I was in trouble. Because not even the four of them. One guy gets out, gray hair. He's got like 47 ribbons.
Yeah.
One of those guys, like the size
the
of a
Green
book.
Beret of
yeah,
New York.
You know what
Police
I mean?
Department,
like,
yeah.
He's got face paint on. He's ready to go to town. And he put us against the wall. Me and the couple. Now, the couple is just nice. They just. From West Virginia.
What's the age range? They're in their
20s? Like in their 30s. But this is their big thing. And guess what the prize was for all of this?
Oh,
they get to go to
case of Sam Adams.
They get close. They get to go to Boston for a day and a half for a tour of the Sam Adams plant.
I thought it was like $100,000 or something.
Man. And so these are I don't mean this in a bad way, but these are like sort of hicks in the city, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean that in a mean way, but like, so they're like now completely overwhelmed. And I'm overwhelmed, but I'm still thinking like, yeah, okay, we're going to get out of this because the cops.
Right.
What were you doing? I go, no, we weren't doing anything. We were just in the church. And I just kept denying it. I go, look, this is ridiculous. Whatever. And we go back and forth. And then the guy is standing against the wall, and he goes, the guy from West Virginia goes, I can't get arrested.
No.
I go, why not? He goes, I'm on probation.
Oh.
I go, for what? He goes, illegal prescription drugs.
Oh. Now's the time to start talking about that. Yeah,
exactly. I go, don't say anything. So I go, blah, blah, blah. Paul Mercurio's. But now I hear them because I'm going to get my earpiece in. Paul Mercurio, the cops, stay with Paul. So this is what they want.
Yeah.
Again, it wasn't like I went out to do it, but this is what they want. So anyway, long story short, they arrest us.
Yeah.
Which, it's now 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm a little like, uh-oh, this is, we stepped in a
big
thing here.
Too far now.
Yeah, it's a little bit like, right, it stopped being funny. So I still think like,
what is the charge?
It ended up being public indecency, something like
that.
But you didn't do it. Yeah.
But I was part, like, accessory to
public indecency.
Accessory to it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's...
And there was literally nothing that you could see. You just saw two people sort of hugging and
kind of... So you know right away this is going to be thrown out. Now it's just an inconvenience.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, they're opening Anthony. They're as big as you could get in the city next to Howard Stern.
Right.
Equal to Howard Stern. This has been done for 3 years. God knows they have connections all the way up the food chain.
Right.
I should be out of jail in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm sitting there waiting 7, 8, 9. No one's showing up.
Really?
Now I'm like
nervous.
Oh, no,
you allowed to make a phone call yet?
No, I'm pissed because I see what's happening.
Everybody's
running for the hills.
Yeah.
And being pussies, which is frankly, that show was not about that. That
right.
show was about own your stuff. Own it. Do it. Be a man. Step. You don't like run for the hills. And they're my friends. Like close friends. You don't ditch your friends. All right. And then it's like 10, 11 o'clock. I'm starving. They give me like this, literally a cold hamburger and Tang. I didn't even know Tang still existed.
You got to rip the aluminum label off it.
It was lime green warm Tang. It's so gross, right? And then I hear, woo, ambulance. The guy who got arrested, they weren't giving him his methadone, and he went into some kind of shock, and they have to rush him to the hospital.
Oh,
like,
man.
This cannot get any worse.
No, this is great.
This is like, right? So then.
Now, who are you in a cell with?
I'm alone. I'm chained to like a thing in the cell.
In the cell, you're chained up like a real criminal.
Yeah.
Holy. Exactly.
And I'm like, hey, screw, I'm going to get you.
And where, and you can't see the other guys?
They're in there. He's in his thing and she's in it. Because I think they didn't want us talking.
Right.
because they're gonna they were gonna
talk to you guys. I always wonder what I would do. I always say the same thing. Like if I get stuck in an elevator, I'm just gonna go to sleep. I'm just gonna lay down and go to sleep.
You
and
can't
hope somebody...
because it's like it's a short because you got to sit up and my back starts to hurt.
Oh,
right. And I had to eat with one hand. It was like ridiculous. Yeah. Like now you know why you don't want to go to prison.
You feel like a real criminal.
Yeah. Like the quality of the food.
Yeah.
Jeez, like, I felt like I was in a Red Roof Inn. It was terrible. So like now it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and still nobody. And I'm really mad. And they call me into it. They bring me into a room to interrogate.
No, you can you talk to? Can you say, hey, can I make a phone call to anybody? Or nobody's talking to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I think I called my wife just to say, and she goes, where are you? I go, you know, I got arrested. She goes, what? I go, I can't talk right now. And I just hung up.
Oh.
Yeah, because I didn't want to, I just couldn't get into it with her, right?
You don't have a, where do you live? Or where did you live at the time?
I live where I live now, 87th up on Lex.
Okay, so you don't have, like I have a contingency plan now. I don't plan on ever getting arrested, but if I do, everybody knows who to call. There's a chain reaction.
No,
you
here's
call
the
Dom,
funny-
you call my dad, and let's get this going.
No, here's the funny thing, and I worked in a big law firm in the city, and I never even thought, no, I wouldn't have called them because I didn't want them to know.
Yeah, you know you were working there at the time?
No. Okay. I'd been gone, but right. And I don't have like a criminal lawyer on retainer because I'm getting arrested all the time. So they call me. This was like right out of Law and Order. Like I didn't think this existed. And so they call me in a room, and it's literally like a 4x4 room, and these two big detectives, and they're sweating, and it's hot, and it's like, you think it's funny? Your mother, if your mother saw you in the church, I go, my mother doesn't go to church. They go, don't be the guy slams the desk. You tell me what happened. Whose idea was it? Was it Opie? So they wanted me to like turn.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, I'm not going to tell you that. He goes, you could get a. I go, look, I know I could get charged with something, but what I could get charged for is not worth me selling my friends down the river. It's not like I murdered somebody. Can we get over this?
Yeah.
You brother, that's a sacrilegious. I go, and I said the same thing to him. I go, you're going to tell me that? You're a Catholic too. What's been going on in that church? This is the best thing that ever happened to that church. And he's like, now he's mad at me, right?
Yeah.
I have to back up. So now it's like 7 o'clock in the morning and I'm going to my arraignment alone.
Oh my God. Nobody stepped up. Nobody called. The station doesn't even send them down there.
So now I go right to my arraignment and I call my wife again and she goes, where are you? She goes, I go, why? Well, she goes, all this press is at our apartment building.
Oh.
CNN.
Oh.
It was a really slow news cycle in August.
Yeah.
All this stuff. And they want an interview, and they're trying to get in our apartment, and they're slipping cards under the door. I'm like, okay, just hang on a second. I go to the arraignment. I tell them I don't have a lawyer. They're like, okay, come back when you have a lawyer. I immediately get in a cab, and I go to the radio station. And I go to the GM's office. And I
who is who at the time?
I don't know, maybe, I want to say Stevens, something Stevens.
Jeremy Stevens.
Maybe, but I can't remember.
I don't know.
I want to be careful. But anyway, and I go, you got a problem. He goes, what? I go, you got to get me a lawyer, and you got to get that couple a lawyer.
Yeah.
Go, what do you mean? I go, you made me sit in jail all night for some stupid contest that you approved? Well, you know... It's tough to get. I go, do not tell me it's tough to. You're one of the biggest corporations in the world. There's a lawyer every 3 feet in the city. Do not insult my intelligence.
Yeah.
You made me sit all night in jail over a nonsense thing that you guys created, you guys supported, you guys backed. Well, you know, I go, look, well, I don't know if we can get you. I go, no, okay, don't get me a lawyer. I said, I'm going to go home, and I'm calling Larry King Live.
Right.
And I'm calling
CNN. My interviews.
And the first thing I'm going to tell them is that there's a videotape that exists of a woman doing her boyfriend, and Jim Cook, the president of Sam Adams, is on the tape laughing and joking about it. So will you tell me how your sponsorship...
I might have asked for a lawyer and some cash at that point.
Exactly, yeah. And he goes, well, we'll get you... I go, and get the couple a lawyer, too. These poor people from West Virginia.
Get the guy some methadone.
Get the guy some methadone. He goes, oh, I have that. And he goes, so he gave me a lawyer. And then the lawyer was terrible because he didn't really want to do due diligence and stuff like that, so he wouldn't ask for things. And I'm like, God, you're just like a corporate chill. So I had to fire him. I made them give me another lawyer. And then I go down for like hearings, and I get chased around the courthouse by the New York
Post. Yeah.
And I didn't want to talk about it or be in the press because I didn't want to look like I was trying to make my name on the back of my friend's, you know, show.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how much loyalty I would have had at this point.
Well,
I would have been angry.
I'm not a saint, but that's just the way I am. I just feel like, you know. But now I'm like, it's every man for himself.
Yeah.
But I just
because they hung out. When I say that, I mean CBS hung out at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, Opie and Anthony at that point.
They also hung out Opie and Anthony. It's not like It's like you guys come up with a thing and you come on air and you don't tell anybody here and it blows up. That's one thing.
Right.
This was approved in the third year. Now, the reason this happened when I was getting fingerprinted, it was so surreal. Like, the whole thing was all happening. Like, and I keep saying to myself, over a stupid prank.
That you didn't even really do. You just were witness to.
I just witnessed to it. And every time I did, I threw up a little bit in my mouth on top of it. So I go, why did you arrest this? I go, you cops are... The guy goes, look, that Voyeur Bus thing really just pissed everybody off. And then they start end up, and this contest was like being heard by some people in the mayor's office, and there was a call to the precinct.
That time to make an example.
Shut this down and arrest whoever you get. Mm-hmm. So it was much bigger than like some beat cop going whatever. That's why when I walked away from the church and I was 2-3 blocks away, I'm like, okay, this is over.
Right.
I'm just going to go do some safe stuff like in the park or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they basically, they're chasing me. I would like turn my jacket inside out so they wouldn't recognize me when I go to the thing. It was like, so this is August, right? And I go to church and I'm an usher in my church. So
is your church know? Yeah, of course. Everybody knows a name now,
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So he's doing it again.
He's doing it again. Excuse me, Reverend, could we stop for a minute? I want to have sex on the altar. So I'm not making any of this up. So it's like 2 days later, it's now the weekend, and we had been invited, my wife and I, with another couple, up to like Woodstock, New York, for like a country weekend hangout, right? So it's Saturday, and the guy goes and gets like muffins and coffee and the New York Times and New York Post and everything, and I pull the Post out of the pile, and the ONA sex scandal on the cover, and I flip the page, and my picture's in the paper with the thing, and these are like church-going people. So now I'm freaking out. So I take the newspaper, and I go into the bathroom, and I start ripping out pages, and I'm like, I can't throw the pages in the garbage because they'll undo it. So I throw it in the toilet, and I clog the toilet.
Oh, of course. With your own pages.
Yeah, so then I had to say it was my, I took it right down. There's a no-win situation.
That embarrassment was bad. Better than the other embarrassment.
Exactly. You dropped a deuce that big in our house, really?
Holy.
So it just keeps getting worse and worse. And then so then I ultimately pled to whatever, and I had to do community service and report in and all this other stuff.
So silly.
And like, yeah, and it was like, and the couple, they didn't win the contest.
No.
Yeah, I know.
They got the points.
No, I know. It was just, and I know, we had a lot of points. And to this day, I still think like we should have won the contest. And it just got like, and then I had to stop. Like, I wouldn't return anybody's phone calls. I wouldn't do any of that stuff, any of the press, because I just didn't want to be like the guy that was like, yeah, and then, yeah, there was, and I'm ratting on my friends and all that other stuff. But the whole thing went from like, oh, this is like whatever, to DEFCON 3.
Yeah, right? It was, even as you left the church, you were like, oh, no big deal. And next thing you know, you're getting fingerprinted, you got a lawyer.
That's like, even when I went to the thing, I'm like, surely one of the guys will come down.
Yeah.
Like, the producer came down on his bike for 5 minutes to check how I was doing. And then it was like, nobody. And like, they couldn't, and so it just was like, he went that away. Like, everybody, everybody else. And so,
they must have all known, though. At that point, they know their jobs are on the line, too. So
I think it was Anthony that said, he goes, it was inevitable. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, when you do a show like this, you have to keep topping yourself.
Yeah.
And you get to the point where you step over a line one too many times.
Well, I'm glad you guys did it before we did it. You know what I mean? somebody had to take it over where everybody goes, all right, we need to pull it back a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it did pull everything back, And they were competing with Howard Stern and... There was that they were going up against each other and so I think they felt that pressure, and then the show came back and then they did XM and terrestrial radio at the same time.
Yeah.
And then they did just XM and then, whatever, it all kind of
now the evolution, just internet now.
And here's the weird thing. Anthony.
Oh, I know. This is the second time you ruined the show. Because I was listening that day.
Yeah, that's smart. I knew about
Opie and Anthony, they fight, they break up, they don't work together anymore. Anthony gets fired, they talk crap about each other, they hate each other now. Which is, they kind of hated each other for a while anyway. So the first time ever that they are back on the air together.
You heard that?
Of course I heard it.
Oh, my God. I didn't ruin the show that time.
I'll tell you how you ruined it. Anthony, Opie and Anthony are talking for the first time since Anthony got fired.
Right.
So much dirt had come out in between them. Everybody hated everybody. Everybody hated Opie, basically. And it's the first time the two of them are on the air together. And Voss is in the studio with Opie. And Paul is in the studio with Anthony, who is live on his internet show while Opie's live on his
different
show.
Different studio.
And I didn't know it was you at the time, but it was a combination of trying to keep things moving along. But once they started talking to each other, it was really good radio. It was good to hear them together.
I don't know if you're saying I ruined it because I said stuff. But
I'm just teasing.
But here's what happened. Yeah. I tried to leave. They wanted me to stay.
Yeah.
It was awkward for me. And I did feel like it was their moment. But it was so surreal that we were all together again. Like, this was the core group. Like,
with Voss.
Like, you know, like, it's like a... And in this way, like, what are the chances that they get together?
One while minute. You're
what
there.
What are the chances that I'm in the freaking room? Like, right, I don't want to be in the room.
Yeah.
Like, just when I was out, they pulled me back in. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it wasn't, but it was...
So
it
here's
was,
what happens. Yeah. So I get up to leave. I start to take my cans off, and I get up to leave, and they're like, they're giving me the, like, no. The producer's like, and Anthony's like, grabbing my arm. I go, and they're going, like, they're giving me, like, the circle, meaning, like...
Keep going
and talk. Yeah. So I got the sense that I needed to jump in every once in a while. And then we went, like, it's like old friends right off the bat. You start busting each other's chops. Yeah. Hey, Voss, you're an idiot, blah, blah, blah. But they had their thing. And it was weird for me because I didn't want to be the guy getting in the way, but they wanted me to sort of, they didn't want me to just sit there.
Either. Right, right.
Like,
right.
I'm a guy, if you're going to have me on the radio, you must want me to say something. If you don't, then I'm going to leave. That's
even
fine.
Even Voss, a couple of times, I was like, shut up, Voss. Yeah,
I know. Some people said that on Twitter.
It's hard when you're in there.
Well, yeah, try doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm being told to do it.
Yeah, like, right.
But, and so I, you know, I hope I didn't overdo it, but maybe I
did. No, hey, listen, it was a good moment in radio.
Yeah, so then it's over, and Anthony's like, I'm so glad you didn't leave. He goes, why? He goes, I don't think I could have done that alone.
Right, you needed to have somebody.
He said, I wasn't ready for it and whatever. And it was fine. It was good. They got along fine and whatever.
I would love, because I'm a fan of theirs, and I've been on the show with both of them there and without Anthony there, and I would love to moderate, kind of like as an outsider who's got a little inside, I would love to moderate a show with the two of them.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Somebody needs to, like, get them in there and then take
over. Yeah, because, I mean, there's stuff over the Twitter thing that got Anthony in trouble, and the racial thing that he said, and I think he felt like maybe Opie wasn't, you know, there for him the way he should have been. But
I want to do it because I don't have any repercussions. I don't have to worry about one of them being mad at me when it's over.
Right.
But, like, I want to ask the right questions.
Throw Norton in there, too.
And ask them. I would love to do that. I'm going to try and work on that one day.
That'd be awesome, man.
Yeah.
I would listen to that in a heartbeat. I'm not coming. I'm not going to be around for it.
No,
shut up, Paul. You're ruining it.
No, but you know what would be great is have, like, Paul and Voss and the different guys called as witnesses.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I saw it a little differently with Judge Calta. You know, I will say it's all fine between, like, me and Opie, me and Anthony, me and Jim. You know, Jim more less so part of this because he was, you know, kind of not the main host of the show like he is now, his own show. But it's fine now. But, you know, you had to kind of work through it, you know, and everybody had to be like, I literally punched the guy in the face over it.
Who'd you punch?
At the Caroline's.
Oh, so, well, like a listener?
Yeah, you know how Caroline's is set up?
Yeah, yeah.
So basically Caroline's is on Broadway. It's a comedy club in the heart of Times Square. And you go down a big flight of stairs. It's literally like underground. And there's a bar and then there's a showroom. So I had done a show and I'm leaving. And it was a lot of people at the bar. And as I'm walking up the stairs, so now it's like, you know, like when you have your stairs to your living room and you can, like, stand over your living room, like the way Trump came down and some guy goes, hey, Mercurio, you're a a-hole. You ruined it for that. And I go, what? He goes, and he yelled it in front of, like, all these people. So I go back downstairs and I go over to the guy and I go, you're joking, right? He goes, blah, blah, blah. And he's just, now he's, like, in my face and, like, insulting me and telling me that I ruined the show and I'm the reason it got canceled. I go, you're joking, right? He goes, no. I go, okay. So I grabbed him by the front of the shirt and I pulled him toward me and I started punching him in the side of his head.
Get one Kool-Aid and one Tang enough for you not to hit anybody in New York?
I see the Italian in me, the switch went off, and I'm like, no one's going to talk to me like that. And I was fed up with hearing that I was... it would happen like every August 13th. For a while, I was getting every like August 13th, I get emails or texts from people like, hey, like you ruined it. Get first of all, it's like
you
four
were the
years.
Guy that went to jail.
Yeah, exactly. And get a life. It's 4 years later. Grow up. So I like started punching the guy, and they threw the guy. And then it turned out that the guys over there in the air like apologized to me on about it because it was a big rabid listener who was a pain in the ass to the show, and they didn't want me to think that they sent this guy out to do this.
Right.
It was not cool to them. So it was fine. But and then it just whatever. And then it kind of went away, you know?
Hilarious.
So you can't shower in a bus anymore. And you
not
can't do
in,
it
not
in
Manhattan,
a church.
You can.
Yeah, exactly.
I got another guest coming up. But I want to ask you. So what kind of lawyer were you?
I did corporate M&A law.
And when did you stop doing it?
I don't know, like 14, 15 years. I met Jay Leno at a private function and I gave him some jokes. I was writing as a lawyer and I got, I don't need these. And he took them and he called me the next day.
No kidding.
And he goes, I'm going to hire you to start sending jokes. And he's like, hey, me. And he really.
How did that sound?
Yeah, well, I think, Paul, you have some pretty good stuff. I think
that one's pretty funny.
He talks like they're letting helium out of it very slowly. And you want to go, just breathe. And he goes, and when he called me, I got a friend, it was like 2 days later, David, who does good impressions, and I told him I met Jay Leno, and he goes, hey, it's Jay Leno's brother, and I thought it was my friend David. I go, yeah, David, right. He goes, hey. I go, David, you do a lousy Jay Leno. And he goes, I'm Jay Leno, I think I do a pretty good Jay. And it was Jay, and he goes, I'll hire you to send in jokes, and then the following week I did the jokes. He did one of my jokes. And he goes, by the way, what do you do for a living? I'm a lawyer. He goes, I knew it. I go, why? He goes, you write like a lawyer. You're too wordy. And then I started to live this secret double life where I was a lawyer by day. And when I had a dinner break because I was working all-nighters, I'd go to dive bars in New York City.
And do comedy?
Yeah. I don't know if I know you're from New York originally, but you remember. But down in the Bowery, you know, below the Bowery, I'd say that one of those places was called Downtown Beirut 2. And I loved the 2. Like, I think they're franchising them. Somebody blew up one, and it was literally like a dysfunctional Cheers. You would pick a number. There's poets, folk singers, and comics. And do I have a second to tell you?
Yeah,
this? And so I go there one night, and I try to take my suit coat off and my cufflinks and stuff. So I looked a little
less like a lawyer.
Like, right. And it was like there's a hooker worked out of there who literally gave you notes on your joke. How come you're not doing that joke about cabbies? I think that's a good joke. You just did, right? Thank you. And they jailed drugs out of there. And there was a sign on the men's room door that said the toilet seat is only to be used to go to the bathroom, not to cut coke. Thank you to management.
Oh, my God.
And it said, thank you to management. So I'm waiting this night to go on stage. This is all true. Exactly. I'm telling you. And there's a guy like playing Blowing in the Wind, like badly. Like, yeah. Right. There's a scuffle at the pool table, and a guy runs out of the bar, and another guy grabs his neck, and he starts screaming, he cut me! He cut me! The son of a... He cut me! So it was, like, over some drug deal, and the guy who got cut was really drunk, and it was, like, it was deep. It wasn't enough to, like, you know, kill him, but, like, it was a lot of blood, and he's screaming, and he's like, I'm gonna get him! I know where he lives! And his girlfriend's crying, like, oh, my God! The answer, my friend, the guy just keeps playing. Like, he's not getting off stage. So I get up. I'm leaving the bar, because I think this is over, right? And I hear, literally my door's on the, my hand's on the door, and we'll walk out, and I hear, all right, you guys ready for some comedy?
So now, you guys bleeding,
yeah,
crying.
Exactly. So I'm not doing this long enough to know I don't have to go up.
Right.
So I go up, but I'm no enough to, like, I got to acknowledge, like, because now the cops are there.
Right.
And it's the girlfriend's crying, and he's screaming. It's mayhem, right? So I say, nice to be here at Downtown Beirut, too. I always wanted to follow a slashing, which I thought was a pretty good line.
Right,
well, the guy who got cut didn't think so because he heard me say that. And he goes, hey, you making fun of me? I don't need to take any crap from you. And he had all these bloody napkins, and he wadded them up, and he threw them at me.
Oh!
And they, like, stick to my shirt.
Oh!
And then and I get the top of the mic stand, and I get rid of the napkins. Now I got, like, a grapefruit-sized blood stain.
Somebody else's blood stain on
and
you.
And I'm, like, a normal person, like, gets off stage. Now I'm like, screw this. This is the stubborn part of me. I'm going to stay and my... And nobody's paying attention. And then all of a sudden he turns back to me and he goes, hey, what are you doing anyway? I go, I'm trying to tell jokes. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I like jokes. Hang on a second. And he turns back to the bar. I swear to God. He goes, hey, everybody, shut the hell up. This guy's trying to tell jokes.
He's now your biggest fan.
Yeah, it was the best 2 minutes of my life. Everybody was laughing. They were afraid. And that became my life for like 2 years.
That is so funny, man.
Yeah, man, it was crazy. I was having a nervous breakdown at 30 because I was hiding it from the law firm because if they knew I was doing it, they'd be like, that's not a problem. This is one of these big, like, And I couldn't tell people like who are comics that I'm like a lawyer investment
banker. Right away.
I would have a time card take me down and like drop me off two blocks away in the dark.
And then walk in.
And then walk in, and I'd leave all my stuff in the car, like my jacket, and I mess up my hair, and I so didn't look like I belonged.
Right.
And then I didn't tell my girlfriend, who's now my wife, because I just was really self-conscious about it. And then when I finally told her, she was pretty funny. I go, I think I want to leave Wall Street to be a comedian. And she went, that better be your first joke.
That's the funniest thing I ever heard.
Yeah, and I go, yeah, she goes, I've been doing stand-up at night. I go, oh, she goes, oh, thank God. I go, why? She goes, well, I thought you were cheating on me.
Like
go,
Blaine.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I go, why'd you think that? She goes, well, you had beer and cigarette smoke. You had blood stain on your shirt. And you had phone numbers of women. And I go, those were other comics that had rooms. And I'm like, no. And then it just was like I had to, like, pull the trigger.
So, and money-wise... You're doing it as well, or
thanks
enough?
For bringing that up.
I mean, that's the big deal.
No, if I were doing that today, I would be retired by now.
Right, but you got to go with what makes you happy.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I just didn't want to look back and say I should have.
Yeah,
and
you don't.
I was just trying to figure out how to give my Italian mother a heart attack.
Yeah. No one wants to be. Like, no one wants to be 50 and have regrets.
Yeah,
man.
I didn't want to, like, you know, and I. And then I got fortunate, you know, like I got on the Daily Show, and my mother didn't understand, like, because, you know, the Italian.
Yeah.
And then when we won an Emmy and I went home with it and I took a picture with her, she kind of was like, oh, okay, like, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I went, make me some eggs!
Yeah. Ma!
But yeah, so that would have been like, that's the thing. That was the thing. Like, I had a tough time after I left. I sold my apartment on the Upper West Side on 79th between Columbus and Amsterdam.
Right.
You know, I had...
She had money there, yeah.
I didn't have a ton of money, but like I had enough. Like, and Leno said, don't start buying stuff.
Right.
Because then you have to go get jobs to support that, and you really need to focus on being a stand-up. You got to do it a lot. So I sold my apartment, which was really hard to do because we loved it, and I moved to a rooming house in New Rochelle.
Oh.
And for $327 a month. And
wow.
It was like, you know those old film noir movies where the guy goes to the rooming house to find the bad guy, and it's like this old rickety house.
One bathroom in the hallway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was this. And a German couple owned it, and they were like 8 rooms that they converted into like little 10x12 bedrooms, and I had a hot pot on the floor, and I shared a kitchen and a bathroom, and these were my neighbors. It was two ex-cons, 2 recovering addicts, and a 300-pound phone sex operator who sold Herbalife diet products door to door.
Wow!
And I could hear. My room was right below hers, so I could hear her
doing the
right. And it's theater of the mind. So like you're on the phone.
You got kind of like a. You got
She's
it for
like,
free.
Oh, hi, my name's Carol, and that was true. And I have strawberry blonde hair. That was true. And I have blue eyes. And I weigh 105 pounds. Thank you for playing.
You should have yelled that up. She's full of it. Yeah, exactly. She's 300 pounds.
She would invite me to go upstairs and listen to her. I'm like, no, because I just thought she'd just get on top of
right,
me.
Right.
She'd,
and
she'd break my spine. And then, you know.
Dude, that's where you have to decide whether or not you're going to make it. I mean,
well, there were moments. I got audited by the IRS. My car got flooded in my Saab. Yeah, it all happened. Yeah, it was. I got stories.
You live some life, buddy.
Yeah, I got. You keep getting punched in the face, and you have to decide if you're going to take it or not.
Yeah.
But I think that's what life is.
And you have an Emmy though, so at least you could always go, hey, I got one of these.
Well, I hocked it. I needed the money.
Did you?
No, it was not. It was like there were moments when I had doubts. I'm like, I gave it all up.
Yeah.
I started freaking out. Because I saw my friends getting more. Getting, you know, promotions. I went to my friend's house. He had this nice house in Greenwich, Connecticut, which for people listening is like a really
fancy
area outside of New York City. Like a mini mansion thing, right? And he's a great guy and still a close friend. Not him. I went in and I literally couldn't function. I went into the house and I said to my wife, I got to go to the bathroom. And I just remember put the toilet seat down and I sat on the toilet with my head in my hands going, I could have had this. I could have had this. What have I done? I got to get out. I got to get out before it's too late to get out. I could go. And they start knocking on the door. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm just flushing newspaper down the toilet.
You got a bad experience in the bathroom.
Yeah, so.
Holy cow. This is Paul Mercurio. Paul is going to be at the Improv tonight, 8 o'clock, Friday, 8 and 10:30, Saturday, 7:30 and 10, and then Sunday, 7 o'clock. And in between that, he'll be in looking for knivings and stabbings.
Exactly. Hey, if you want to throw blood at me, feel free.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It inspires him to carry on.
I hope I was funny, man.
Listen, I love stories. That's a guy.
Yeah, that's what they told me. Yeah. I love talking about them, doing stories, too. It's the best radio, so I really enjoy it.
Nobody wants you to come in here and have to just tell you. You can tell somebody's going to be funny by just having a conversation.
Yeah. Well, but sadly, I almost got arrested on Amtrak.
For what?
Because I got in an argument with the conductor. I get in a lot of arguments.
You have
people.
A bad, your temper is not under
stopped
control.
I stopped the Amtrak on the Eastern Seaboard for 2 hours.
Who did you fight with?
The conductor.
Why? You didn't show me a ticket?
No, he was obnoxious, and I think you have to say something, otherwise things don't change.
What did he say to you?
He came
so bad?
Through, and he goes, yeah, you got to take your bags off. It's a full train. We need the seats. And I didn't take my bag off because I don't want to talk to anybody. I got friends, and I don't want to hear about, like, you ran the marathon and achieved your goal. I don't care.
Sure.
And they didn't need the seat. So he comes back, and he yells at me. He goes, I told you to take the bag. I go, don't talk to me like that. He goes, what do you mean? I go, I'm not 6 years old. Well, I told you. I go, well, I'm not 6 years old, and I paid for this ticket. I said, in fact, I paid for it two ways. First, I bought a ticket, and my taxpayer funds have been going into a fund that funds this railroad that's always late with disgusting food that rats wouldn't eat and gross bathrooms. I said, so you can take your hat and your chain shooter and go F yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was 3 minutes. I was not even out of the tunnel. And so now he comes back through to take my ticket, and he goes, I'm not taking your ticket. He goes, I called the cops on you in Jersey. You're getting off the train. I go, yeah, right. We pull into the station, and there's four state troopers on the platform, and he called the cops.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so now this is serious. So he goes, I told you, you're off the train. I'm going to have you arrested. So I grab my ticket, and I start running down the aisle to look for the manager, the head conductor, because, like, that's my thing. Like, I go to see the manager when I...
Right.
And my wife is... And again, these aren't bits. Like, my wife is legit, you got to let this go.
Right.
Long story short, you know the Amtrak doors, you hit the button and the door
slides in.
I hit it with my hand, with my right hand, and the ticket was in my hand, and the suction of the door sucked the ticket into the pocket. I swear to God. So now I'm on a train illegally because you're supposed to have a ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Wyatt Earp and the four cops are barreling down on me, and I hit the door, the button doesn't come out. I hit it again, I hit it. And before I was all like, hey, you know, yelling again. Now I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get arrested. I was like a huge pussy. And I hit it one more time, and the door comes out, and the ticket literally comes flying out, and I grab it. I find the head conductor. We get with the cops, and the cops are like, what, this is, we got better things to do.
Yeah.
What's the problem? So the conductor I got an argument with goes, I don't like this guy's attitude. He was very disruptive and argumentative. I want him arrested. And the cop goes, you want me to arrest him for that? Arguing. Because if I did that, I'd be arresting my wife every 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's not a...
Get back on the train.
You got important things to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So I told a valet guy to go F himself one time. And I started walking down the street, and all of a sudden I felt a tap on my shoulder, turn around, and it was a lady cop, and this guy, I go, yeah. And she goes, did you tell this guy to go F himself? And I went, yeah, I did. And I think it reality set in, and she goes, okay. Yeah. I was like, we just checking? I like that you stood up for yourself. I had a TSA guy yell at me one time, like I was a little kid. We were going through it, checking, and then he put my wife. That I go, my wife. He goes, move, and I go, that's my wife. He goes, move. Yeah, I go, who are you talking to?
Exactly.
And he stood up, and I go, yeah. And he goes, 1 second, sir. And he sat down. And he hit, and he just pushed it through. I was like, why'd you have to be a dick?
Yeah, and I know what the switch goes off for me, and I do it because I do believe he'll remember the next, hopefully, what you did to him the next time.
Just be nicer to somebody.
Yeah, I mean, but I have issues. Like, we had to put our dog down, and the night they wanted too much money, so I took the dog and I went to another place because it was cheaper to have it killed. I got in a huge argument with the guy. It's like, I'm telling you, I got banned from a market over a red onion.
Listen, you got to come back because we got to talk to an astronaut now.
Yeah,
we got to go from one guy to one astronaut.
Ask him if he's ever had blood thrown at him.
Well, very That's nice awesome. To meet you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.